Hello, discerning podcast listeners. This is Tom Kenny, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 169 of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me for this fun adventure is Hard Candy Mandy. Hello.
Hey guys, I'm here.
She is here, in flesh and body, and mind and soul, and everything else you can be hearing. I don't know.
That made it weird.
You made it weird.
It's episode 169. We're supposed to be dirty.
It's not a rule.
Oh, okay.
Not a thing.
Not a rule, not a thing. Movie Revolt Dan, hello.
I'm just going to say hi. That's all I'm going to. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Don't let them make you feel dirty too, Dan.
Dirty too, Dan. Sounds, I don't know, the makings of a movie title there somewhere in there. And for the set, hello.
Hi.
Oh, you went with hi as well. All right.
I was trying to think of a way to be like, well, for episode 420, are we going to all have to be hi? But like, 169 isn't 69. I don't know if it's got like a cuckoldry aspect to it or just like a voyeurism quality to it, but like that's less of a thing.
All right, let's see how the rest of this show goes. We're off to a great start here. We're gonna have a little bit of a different theme here today. We recently did our March Madness tournament, and obviously we have our Kevin Smith series going on and more video game films going on, but we're gonna divert slightly off course thanks to one of the main movies that's out in theaters right now, which is Ready Player One. Obviously, a lot of people in the geek circles are aware of what Ready Player One is, either due to the book or the film coming out, and obviously it is loaded with pop culture and nostalgic goodness. So we're kind of going to riff off of that and do our own take on something based on that. Matt, do you want to explain a little bit about what we're doing today to the listeners?
All right. So I guess in Ready Player One, they have to do all these like gamified events to get keys, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're essentially crafting additional events using our own personal pop culture references, rather than, you know, this one all being based off of some like like hermit guy who just buys up all of the DVDs. We're doing this based on the Cinema Geeks take. So we'll have various events essentially crafted around like climactic final scenes from a movie, but not just all action movies, right? Because we got to keep it interesting. And so we're going to craft a scene that, you know, say the Ready Player One gang would have to go through in order to finish out their movie if we wanted to make it 5 hours long.
Yeah, that's basically the premise. So you don't necessarily have to have any knowledge of Ready Player One to listen to this podcast and kind of see where we're going and enjoy it. If you've seen the movie, it will make total sense. If you have not seen it, what Matt said there basically sums it up. We're just crafting additional challenges that our characters could go on in order to get those keys. And along those challenges, that's where you get a lot of different pop culture references from decades past. To set the stage a little bit, there are two of us that have seen Ready Player One, so kind of right before we get into what we're doing here, Amanda, why don't you give the listeners your quick take or thoughts on if you enjoyed or didn't enjoy the movie?
Wasn't prepared for this, sir.
Putting you on the spot.
I liked it, but I did not read the book. I think that this is a movie that definitely begs for multiple watches. Otherwise, you're just not going to see all of these cameos.
Yeah, the references are definitely coming at you fast and furiously. It's hard to catch them all on one watch for sure, so this is definitely one that people will be slowing down, pausing their DVDs or Blu-rays to try to catch everything that they missed the first time. But
also, this is not a kid's movie. This is not a kid's movie.
Not like a young kid's movie.
They say fuck.
Yeah, kids these days.
I said it. It's PG-13 because they only drop the F-bomb once.
We did see the movie with someone that had read the book, and he informed us that there is very little in the book that is also in the movie, just some kind of framework and structure there. So it does differ from that, but I think he said it was enjoyable either way. So I look forward to hearing your guys' thoughts when you're able to catch up with it later on. But definitely a fun movie and right up our lane, because we like references, we like nostalgia, we like things from our childhood, whether it be the 80s or 90s, etc. So, Matt, we have four different scenarios that we're going to kind of do the framework for and insert different characters in. We're going to let the listeners vote on which one should be included in the movie once we're done with all of this. So why don't you set the stage for that first scenario, and all the rest of us will cram in some more pop culture references that we want to fit in there.
All right, cool. So for the first one, we discussed a number of ideas, and we settled on what we thought would be the most interesting for you, the loyal listener. And so for the first one, we chose a poker table scene. Imagine, I don't know, like those movies that I haven't seen, like Goodfellas. Like, do they do a poker table scene in that one? Like a real tense, or like any Western, I'm sure, has one. Or that one really good episode of Batman, like the best episode of the Batman animated series, where the whole thing is set around a poker table and it's got like a weird level of tension.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's popped up in multiple different movies and genres, whether it be Westerns or more action films, dramas, etc. So it's definitely something that's kind of standard movie formula or structure to throw in there at times.
So, like, this scene, in order to work, is going to need a wide range of characters, right? You're going to need at least one real serious person. You're going to need at least one comedy relief person. Kevin, which person are you going to add to our poker table?
Yeah, the other thing that I was trying to think about when I was coming up with this was, do we want, you know, we don't want it necessarily too easy for our main character, you know, who's trying to gain this key. We don't want it to just be a softball that they're just easily got, you know, they easily get. So I was trying to think of someone that might be hard to read or something of that nature. I don't know why this character stuck with me, but I just figured it would be somebody that went through a bunch of different types of feats in his own movie. It's a movie reference, and was able to best different people of differing skills, whether it be physical, mental, etc. And I'm thinking specifically of a scene that he had where he was sitting down across from someone and someone having to put a poker face on in order to not pick the poison that was going to kill him. So I actually went with Wesley from The Princess Bride. I thought that would be a good character to be sitting in on this poker table where he's good at fooling people. So, good poker face. I thought he'd be good.
I like that. I think he could add a lot of interesting banter, which is something you need. Like, he's not the tough guy. He's not the hardcore guy. He's also not the comic relief, but he is someone that would be a great addition to that table. Dan, where would you go from there?
Well, I think you need someone who will provide a level of intimidation, you know, one that you're not sure that will take a lot of risks, one that you think may break the rules per se, maybe add a little element of maybe you can't really trust them fully. And I was thinking of a character that has tried to play games within the movies that he was in and shown that, like, he may he's not one that will be fully trusted, but in a good way. And that Snake Plissken from Escape from New York, you know, he had the infamous scene where it's like, I'm going to throw the can up in the air. I think that was from Escape from L.A. And then we'll shoot, but then he ends up just shooting people to begin with. And he's just got that look and that, you know, that chiseled jaw of Kurt Russell, where you're just like, you know, he can intimidate you. You're like, is he bluffing? Is he not? Like, what is he doing? So I think he would add in kind of a scary element to the table.
I haven't seen those movies. Is he like more of a quieter character? Like, would he just be seething?
Have you played Metal Gear Solid?
No, but I know about the connections between the two franchises.
He's like, you know, he's like your typical 80s action hero, but he's like Clint Eastwood, but in the role of a vigilante.
Okay. So he's not going to be silent, but he's also not the one bringing up the conversation necessarily.
He's very poignant when it comes to what he's saying. It's, you know, he's a man of he'll say things. He'll have some clips here and there, but he's not like he's not a Tony Stark. He's not an Arnold Schwarzenegger with the classic, you know, the one-off lines. His sense of humor is more so because he's so serious.
Awesome. All right. Amanda, who's going to be sitting next to Snake?
I'm going to go with Space Ghost.
Well, there's your levity.
I think that he can be funny, but also his face doesn't change much. And he's got those eyes that you can't really read.
I love that.
I know, I'm 100% down. This is just choices is right after my heart. I was worried that we weren't going to have anyone too humorous, but Space Ghost is perfect, and he's already been animated holding cards, so we could easily just Photoshop him into the movie if we had to.
That leaves one character, man. Who are you going to round up the table with?
So I made a list of people. Like I was considering like Rorschach or The Question from DC because they've got the greatest poker face that is no face. But I think to round this table out, I want to add in the Mark Hamill Joker, because I think he'll play well off of everyone while still being intimidating, and we know he can shuffle because he was in that one Batman episode that I referenced.
There we go. Dan, is this a formidable table that the characters will have to try to win a game at?
I think so. I mean, when you have Snake Plissken and Joker on the same table, and Space Ghost just to make it fun, and then, of course, Wallace Shawn, I think that is quite the challenge, an array of characters.
All right, so that would be the first challenge that they would have to get a key from. Or would you prefer something different? Matt, what's the second scenario?
All right, so that first one, that one's intense. So we got to lighten it up a little bit with a little bit of, definite nostalgia in the high school classic of The Breakfast Club, where a bunch of teens all from different social groups have to come together to get to know each other, to get to know themselves. And so this one we're going to need a different bunch of people, like, because if we have a bunch of angry street toughs, it's not going to work out. It's not going to play well, and it's not going to be endearing or have the character learn anything about themselves. So we need a different stage. So Amanda, set us off on this one.
Oh man, I'm going to go with Doug Funny.
Doug Funny.
I feel like he's that age group anyways. And he's easy to get along with. And he's Quail Man also. So if, you know, any, like, wrongdoing happens, he's already, you know, there with his belt on his head, ready to solve any inner detention skirmishes.
Oh, man. What got him into detention, do you think?
I think he was probably set up. Or maybe he was blamed for something that Roger Klotz did.
Yeah, Roger would get him in trouble. Or he'd be, like, passing notes to Skeeter, right? Like, just one too many notes.
Yes.
Like it.
Okay, Dan, who are you going to put in this this thing with the soft, soft Doug Funny?
So, part of me wants to put Emilio Estevez in from The Mighty Ducks, his character there, just because it would be kind of funny. Be like, he's just still there.
He's been there the entire time.
Good old Gordon Bombay. But I'm going to, you know, but inspired by his character, because I wanted to try to stay in the realm of, you know, kid characters. But, like, look, he was a jock. Well, let's flip the jock concept on its head and go with a different type of jock, and going with one of the most infamous linebackers in Giants history, and that being the Little Giants and Icebox from Little Giants. Has anyone else watched that movie from the 90s?
I know, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
That's inspired me to rewatch it, though.
That is true nostalgia.
So tell us a little bit about this character, Dan.
So Icebox is a female. I should indicate that. Becky, she is, her dad is Roger, Rick Moranis. Her father's Rick Moranis. Her uncle is Ed O'Neill. she wants to play football, but she can't because she's a girl. So she ends up tricking her dad to starting his own football team, and then it's this like misfit group of kids that, you know, are not very talented, and they're going against the cowboy team, which is evil because they're the cowboys and whatnot. So but they're, you know, it's kind of like Bad News Bears, but more good hearted, I guess. But she kind of is the protector of these kids. She tends to, you know, when they're being bullied, she comes in and kind of saves the day. She notoriously is a great driver of a go-kart that she utilizes, and overall is just a pretty tough chick in general. But she also, like, you know, is conflicted at times because she does have feelings for people, and in the case of the quarterback, and doesn't want to still wants to kind of be a girl at the same time. So I think she kind of covers a couple bases with classic Breakfast Club characters, so she can kind of cover different ground. But I just thought it'd be a way of taking that the common trope that we saw with, you know, with Breakfast Club and kind of altering it with a 90s reference, because that's what I know.
I like it. I like it. That's interesting. Matt, you got to go next on this one.
Oh, man. So I wasn't thinking about the Breakfast Clubs all being, you know, high schoolers. So my list, like, I made, you know, I grabbed like a half dozen guys. Like, these might be fun in that. And it might even be fun to just, you know, that and be the guys. But the only one that I only got two that are really even teenage age. And so I'm going to go with I want to go with Hermione Granger, but I think that Doug Funny's got that nerd cred. So I'm going to go with Greedo from Star Wars as kind of more of the, like, quiet guy. Like the, guy, Judd Nelson?
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, he's kind of the misfit, misunderstood one. Like, in Star Wars canon, like, Han Solo stole his girlfriend, and so he gets tricked into trying to chase down Han Solo. Like, he comes from a bad family. I think one or both of his parents are gone. And so he's kind of got that Judd Nelson, like, grumpy, like, wants to fit in but just never will, wants to be a bully but isn't the jock.
Interesting. All right. We have an interesting group of three people. And obviously in the Breakfast Club you had a couple characters that are somewhat represented by just one, like Dan's obviously could fit a couple different characters here. So I had one down, but I think I'm going to leave him off because of your pick, Matt. I wanted you to go first because I had, like, I was either going to have the outcast guy or, like, the prom queen type choice. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see where you went first because I had ready in queue the Casey Jones from the live action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
Kind of play that Judd Nelson role. But I'll shift gears because I think we need another girl in there. I don't think she completely would fit the Molly Ringwald character, so to speak, but I think this will add another dimension because it's maybe coming from a much different end of the spectrum from the other female that we have currently. So I am going to go with the childlike Empress from The Neverending Story because that adds another female to the group, and it's another one that we don't know a ton about. So if the job is to get to know all of these characters and find something that they have in common or whatever it is that the task that they're given, I think that makes it a little more challenging because we have a couple characters here that we don't know as much about. So, and I think it would be someone that would give, you know, Doug Funny someone that he might be interested in from a romantic angle or whatever you have there.
I like it. That's an interesting group of kids because they're from all over the place, and with the exception of, I guess, mine, they're very 90s. Although the special editions came out in the 90s, so I can take that. it's like we did the Breakfast Club again, but just like 10 years later.
So that's another interesting challenge for the main character to kind of go in there and work things out with this group of characters in a little bit less tense of a way than they had to with the poker game, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's emotionally tense because they've got to find themselves and figure out where they're going in life.
That is true. All right, what's the third scenario, Matt?
All right, for the next one, we're going to pick a little bit more characters. Each one's kind of growing a little bit. And for this next one, we're doing the classic Magnificent Seven trope. I can't remember. Is that the name of the original one? Like the original?
Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai, that's what it is. So the idea is that there's a town going to be attacked, and seven heroes have to train the village to defend itself against whatever the attacker is. So
in the movie Ready Player One, a lot of the characters take on different avatars.
Okay.
And so we're going to allow the main character to join the Magnificent Seven, so there will be eight total people. I know that kind of throws off the number a little bit, but there will be eight. That gives us all two picks, to be fair.
So, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Whether it's five dudes, 10 dudes, or 20 dudes, the real thing about the Magnificent Seven trope is that it's the people rising up. It's not about the seven warriors being enough. And so for this one, we're looking for people that are warriors, but also they need to be able to, like, train. They got to have some level of being able to help the town, like, whether they're bringing explosives knowledge or artillery knowledge or the knowledge of how to train someone to use a weapon. So for this one, I want to start with Dan. Who are you bringing to this table?
Well, there's also other knowledges that are important to bring to the table, and that's the knowledge of how to rock, which is vital, I think. And that's why I'm going to go with the Wild Stallions themselves from Keanu Reeves and his partner in crime from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or Bogus Adventure. The reason being, they may not seem like the most obvious choice, but they do have the ability of time travel. That's on their side. So, and they have a lot of knowledge based, and they can use the power of rock to help. You did use the power of rock to basically help heal the country in a way. So I thought that that they could bring something interesting. And maybe the power Rufus will come along too. And anytime we can add George Carlin into the mix, I think it's a good bonus.
I think you get two things though that they can also do to help out. They can, number one, help keep up the morale of the town as they await this battle at night or at different things. They can provide the entertainment, and if needed, they can also provide a distraction during the battle. So they got multiple things they can do for us.
I absolutely see this, like, having that act two all hope is lost moment and them being the one to bring everyone back together. Like, all of our guys are like, we're never going to be able to do this. This is a suicide mission. And then those two are like, no, man, we were going to fail out of high school, but we traveled time in order to get this. This is nothing. This is a Tuesday to Bill and Ted.
I like it. Good start.
They literally went to hell. I mean, come on. Yeah.
He literally to hell. I love the synergy of having two from the same property. I didn't really think about that. Amanda, did you go with a pair like that?
I thought about it, but now it's not making so much sense because I was just thinking ass-kickery.
We need some ass-kickery.
Yeah, that means
Sub-Zero and Scorpion from Mortal Kombat.
Holy crap, yes.
We are now deadly and rocking.
Like, they might accidentally freeze and kill other people and not care. But
they
could
do
defend
have
the fuck out of a town.
I like it. I like it.
Sub-Zero can change the battlefield to being all ice if he needs to, and we got some slippage. So, like, he could be beneficial to, like, someone who's, like, in a bind being like, now no one can get to you.
Yeah.
I mean, gotcha, bitches.
Man. I love it.
Kevin, I want you to go because I didn't pick a pair, and I'm going to look at my guys and see if I've got a pairing for this. So I'm going to let you take the next one.
I did not have a pair down, but I think I can make a pair.
I almost did a cheat and said the Powerpuff Girls.
There we go. That would have been an interesting dynamic, too. I'm going to make a pair out of the one that I have written down because for my purposes, when I think back to this character, I think of him as the same character in both movies. One thing that we're going to need in this Magnificent Seven setting that's going to help out is not just pure ass-kickery like we're going to get from Sub-Zero and which one? Scorpion? Is that the Sub-Zero? I know there's like a billion of them now that have that same type of look. But so we have that ass-kickery. We have the rocking going on. But another thing that we're going to need is we're going to need to set some booby traps because we're outnumbered. So we need the help of some different distractions, traps, etc., etc. And who better from that time period to help out than the combination of Short Round from the Indiana Jones films or Data from Goonies? So...
Are you picking two Asians?
It's the same person. it's the same actor, played of both. But I needed a pair, and that's the only way I could come up with it.
No, I love it.
I thought you were going to go perfect. Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone there for a
second.
You
definitely set up Macaulay Culkin with all your trap talk.
But, you know, the Goonies guy, especially Data, had a lot of little booby traps on his jacket and devices and gadgets that we're going to need. So we need that not necessarily big, intimidating physical presence, but the one that can kind of throw something unexpected into the mix.
Oh, man, I had Worf down as a possible choice, and you said Data, and I was all like, that pairs with one of mine, but I don't see how it pairs with one of yours. So I think we've got a lot of aspects covered, right? We've got a lot of crowd control between traps and ice throwing, and we've got a lot of like morality, well, not morality, morale, with those bodacious dudes. But we don't have anyone that's like a classic leader type. So I'm gonna have to go with Man at Arms from He-Man. I think he would be a great choice to lead. He's like, there's definitely a Man at Arms type in everyone whenever you see this trope done in a TV show or movie. And so if I have to pair him up with someone, it's probably gonna be what, Teela, his daughter? And I think those two would be great battlefield commanders. They would be the ones getting the men whipped into shape, as it were, while still being fun and having a great 80s mustache.
Yeah, and he was definitely one that was doing a lot of training of the, you know, the underlings or the different, the palace army, etc. So I think that's a good one to try to, I can see him doing the scenes where you have the townsfolk trying to shoot a gun or to throw a knife or shoot an arrow or whatever it might be.
And yeah, he's the one correcting him. But he's also going to definitely be the one who dies before the end.
So I'm just curious, since we all did with pairs here, who else did people have on their list that they were thinking about throwing in the mix, Amanda?
Wolverine.
Wolverine would be a good one. Get that up close and personal combat going.
Never stopping.
I went away from one of mine because I felt like Amanda had it covered with Sub-Zero and Scorpion, because I had, and I could have gone with a pair here too, I had the either one, Snake Eyes or Storm Shadow from G.I. Joe. I thought, you know, they have the ass kickery that could be handled. And then I also had, kind of to do the same thing that Data or Short Round did with the booby traps, so thinking of throwing MacGyver in there to bring some things up and kind of help in that manner. Matt, did you have anybody else that was on your list?
Yeah, I had Chewbacca and Worf, because why are we not including aliens? I also had considered Chara Aznable from the Gundam fame. He's also a noted like general battlefield commander guy, and I think would be an interesting one for this.
What about you, Dan?
I had Animal from the Muppets, because he's a big wild card. You know,
I love Dan's list.
Also had Aslan from Narnia, because it's a lion.
I wanted to put him in so bad that I couldn't think of where.
Jesus lion.
The animal character, I mean, I think we got that in Vincent D'Onofrio's character in the last most recent remake, so I think that's perfect.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get that out. You're like,
it's perfect. It was so good I couldn't speak. I lost my ability to talk.
We're very impressed. All right.
That is an interesting scenario that the Avatar or the main character will have to join forces with those guys and beat whatever villains that would also probably be pop culture references.
I was going to say, make sure the town survives against what, like, the invading Smurfs or whatever.
Oh, man. What's the last scenario that we have, Matt?
So we've gotten bigger, right? We went from 4 to 8, so we decided to go one more. And in the trial of the century, we're going to pick the 12 angry men. And since everything has to be a pop culture reference, we decided this is going to be the trial of who shot first between Han and Greedo. Is this a case of self-defense, or is this a cold-blooded murder in the middle of the Mos Eisley cantina?
So the challenge here would be for the main character here, in order to get a key, he's got to convince all 12 people to come to an agreement. Because you have to have agreement when you're dealing with a jury. So we are going to be selecting the jury, though. That might be a little bit harder than you would think to get them to agree. Matt, you haven't started one yet. Why don't you go first on this one?
All right. So the first ones that came to mind when I was thinking about this one was I had another podcast recording that I had viewed once. They had discussed who would be a better person for like a logic puzzle. And so this is like the ultimate logic puzzle, right? Where if you make the wrong choice, someone could ruin their lives for something they didn't do. And so the person that we all agreed upon then, and that I think is the first person to add to this, is Spock from the original Star Trek.
Yeah, I figured you were going with Spock or Data that we already talked about, but Spock is a great one because he's also going to be stubborn to agree with the group if it's not logical. So.
It
throws a nice wrench in the mix.
Yeah. You have to have, like, one person on either side that's, like, really gung-ho. And I think he's, like, because I feel like in the original 12, well, in the 12 Angry Men that I've seen, I don't know if it's the original or not, there's a lot of like there's a lot of people that are like willing to switch sides back and forth, but there's two that are real strong on both sides, and so you need to have someone who's going to be a strong arguer, whether regardless of what side they're on.
Right.
So where who are you going to add, Kevin?
Oh man, I have such a weird variety I think on my list, but I don't know why, but I thought having someone in there that's not as concerned, like the guy in there that really just doesn't want to be there and wants to go home, maybe to eat lasagna or something. So I'm going to go with Garfield. I'm going to throw Garfield in there because he doesn't give a shit what's going on in this case.
That is totally, it's fitting because there was a bunch of characters that just wanted to leave and like, let's just vote and get, and lasagna, Garfield cat is perfect.
All right, where are we going next, Matt? You want to be?
I need Amanda because she's either going to go sillier or serious-er.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with this. I don't know. This person is really nostalgia because he's still the shit. And that's Bill Nye, the science guy. Facts. Oh. Fucking facts, bro.
He's great. We got another logic person. And I could almost see the two being on opposite sides, Bill Nye and Spock, where like Spock's like, it just doesn't make sense, and Bill Nye's like, no, it does. You just need to know these weird science things.
So you could have those two running up the key leader on each side of the argument, maybe.
All right, Dan, who are you gonna add to this party?
Well, I think you need like a hothead, like someone who will. There's that one character that like could set off and just get angry. Or possibly one that may try to influence the judge in some evil ways or some shady ways. And I'm going to go Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas. I think he just will add a different a spark into the room that could ignite very quickly, including a lot of F-bombs. So
I like
it.
Dude
spice
set foot in a courtroom if he didn't have to.
That was an interesting setting to have him in.
That could almost make its own interesting movie where he gets the jury summons and he's like, oh, I can't be in court.
Oh, man. So that's a third of the people that you have to convince. Matt, where are we going from there?
Oh, man. I think we need some humor, some levity. Otherwise, this is going to be a real serious courtroom. And I mean, Garfield's funny, but I don't think he's ironic, lazy, funny. I want someone more slapstick. And so I'm gonna add Austin Powers, the super spy.
I like it. Man, this would be a hard, not just a hard jury to get to agree with anything, but a hard jury to get a word in edgewise and to get everybody to, like, listen. So it's a crazy crazy juror room, whatever they want to call it, that we're setting up here. For my second one, I feel like there would be somebody kind of similar to what Dan went with there with Tommy DeVito, but a little bit different. Not someone who's going to try to intimidate with words or that type of personality, but someone who's just going to try to intimidate from sheer strength and physical presence. So I'm going to go with the Macho Man Randy Savage. I think he's going to be off the wall and crazy and just want to get out of there.
Because he's going to be on cocaine.
And on drugs, so he'll be there.
Cocaine and drugs.
Oh, our characters stand no chance. That's why this is the final challenge, possibly. Amanda?
My go?
Your go.
Yeah.
All right, so we need somebody who is truth, justice,
and the American way.
Tommy Pickles.
The Rugrats.
Baby.
No one can even understand him.
The American way. I like it. I thought you were going somewhere else with that one, with that lead up. Oh my. Dan, how can we make this any harder for the character?
Well, what if you had a character that didn't speak as well, and I thought we should tie in maybe to the other retrospective we're currently doing. So why not Silent Bob? You know, just to add in some fun, add in some, what do you do when the person won't say anything? You know, so
at
I'm going to go Silent Bob.
Like when all seems lost.
He's going to be the one that gets them together.
Yeah,
exactly.
He will speak all the crazy languages and get them on the same page, hopefully. Well, that's two-thirds. We still got four more crazy personalities to put into this. Matt, what do you do?
So I think we need someone who's definitely smart, but is going to keep triggering Tommy DeVito. Like, he's going to be intelligent, but he's also going to be annoying, and that's going to be Yoda. I think his weird way of talking is going to anger a lot of people. They're going to be like, this is not how we talk. Come on, we just need to get it. I want to get this done. I've got lasagna in the oven. Like, quit talking slow and weird. We need to get this kid in jail so we can go home.
Oh, man, I like it. I had Yoda on my list as well, actually. I was thinking about putting him in there. I'm going to have to go obscure here because I didn't have any I didn't have this character on my list. But, and this is going to be a, more of a stretch of a reference maybe, but we don't have any females in the on the jury yet, and I think that would...
What the fuck? I thought we said 12 Angry Men, bro.
Yeah, but it's modernized, so it needs a female in there. They wouldn't pick a jury with all 12 men, so I want to throw a woman in there. And I'm going to go with a somewhat of an obscure one, but I think we need that one that's just like that character that's kind of by the book, that's like, these are the rules we have to go by, or this is what the judge said, or, you know, always quoting back the literature to the group. Like, we need to go back to this point right here type thing, and I can't think of somebody better to do that than, I'm going to get her name wrong, the lady that played the airline ticket person in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think her name is, it might be Edie McClurg, but it's, you know, she's got the red hair, and she's not giving John Candy or Steve Martin any wiggle room whatsoever in their predicament and going by the book and going by the rules. So I'm going to go with her. I know that's kind of obscure.
Wow. I mean, that's a classic John Candy, Steve Martin thing. Like, I think we could expect most people to know about that travel comedy.
Perfect. Well, I think we need that presence in there.
There we go. So then we pass it off to Amanda. How are you going to top that?
Oh, if you thought that was obscure. This man is living obscurity. Pee-wee motherfucking Herman. I think he would be like, can't we just get along, like, and have fun?
I think he would be laughing at the absurdity that we've put in this room constantly.
It's ridiculous. I think Macho Man would kill Pee-wee by the end of it. Just going to say that. Then we got a whole other trial to go.
Y'all don't like my Pee-wee
pick? I do. I'm
so I love it. It's great. I would enjoy him very much.
Oh, my Lord. Dan, how are we capping this thing off?
Man, a lot of places to go, and I had a few ideas of who to throw in there, but I think I'm going to go with, you know, possibly the most evil character to ever be on TV or in a film, and that's Eric Cartman. him and Tommy DeVito in the same room is something I would love to see.
Him and Tommy Pickles in the same room.
But I just, exactly. I just think he, you know, again, a kid on the jury, that's some fun, but I'm going to go Eric Cartman.
Oh, my Lord.
He'd be yelling, everybody respect his authority.
If there is a listener out there that can somehow put this together in an image, I would be amazed, and I would love you forever. Because that would be, the Last Supper pictures that you get with all those different people. Like, I want the jury room with these 12 people in it.
Somehow we got a toddler, a fourth grader, and a cat.
I thought about going Mufasa, but we already had Garfield, so I thought that might be too many cats.
Too many cats on this
what
jury.
What's the thing? Too many cats is the thing?
The other
it
ones
is
I
on
was,
a jury.
The other ones I was thinking of, but some of you guys had similar ones. So obviously, Matt, you had Yoda. I was also thinking about Splinter from the Turtles. I went with Garfield instead of Fred Flintstone. He was the other one that I was kind of thinking, like a Fred Flintstone or Homer Simpson, someone of that nature. And then if I didn't go with Savage, I wanted a wrestler in there, so I was thinking about Ric Flair or Kermit the Frog. Amanda, anybody else that you were considering for the jury?
The Angry Beavers.
The Angry Beavers?
Mm-hmm.
I never saw that show.
The Angry Beavers?
Oh, yeah. Man.
What?
I didn't. Matt, what else did you have on your list?
Stinky Toe and Ucky Guy?
I think one of them was called Norbert.
Yeah, yep.
And Daggett.
Yeah, something.
Daggett? Yeah, Daggett. maybe. I don't know. This is nostalgic, guys. I put a bunch of wizards because I figured they would be good, but I figured Spock had enough logic, so I left out Dumbledore, Gandalf, and Orko. You know, wizards.
I love it.
How about you, Dan? Who'd you not?
I also thought about Forrest Gump, and just because, why not?
You know? A lot of life experience.
Exactly. You just kind of end up places. Xerxes from 300, Jessica Rabbit, just because, you know, why not? And Indiana Jones, because he's awesome. And, yeah, and the guy who makes all the funny noises from Police Academy, because, again, nostalgia.
That would be perfect.
Just because he would start some stuff. He would, like, you know.
He'd be instigating the Pee Wee Herman Savage beatdown. So, Matt, which of our four scenarios do you think sets up the best movie scene for Ready Player One?
Oh, man. Without having seen Ready Player One, the one that interests me just of these four to actually view is probably the Breakfast Club one. I like that slow summary. Plus, it probably matches the age of the Ready Player One character more than any of these other ones do.
Dan, what about you? What do you think would be the most interesting thing of these to see play out on the movie screen?
I like the Magnificent Seven scenario, just because, you know, I think it a little bit more. You kind of have a combination of action and so I think that would be a lot of fun.
I think for me, I honestly would probably go with the poker one, just because I feel like it would be not that it wouldn't have to take up a lot of screen time, but it would be something that would slow the movie down for a second, give you some tense moments, and open up the, you know, the possibility for some cool dialogue. And I think we put a bunch of cool characters in that poker game, so that's one I'm kind of interested in. Amanda, what do you think?
Well, now I have to go with the jury.
You can double up with one of them.
I just feel like so much shenanigans.
So much shenanigans in that jury room?
So much.
Hung jury, probably, huh? I think that would be the hardest one for the character to solve. Like, they would really need to... I think the key we pointed out there is getting Silent Bob to somehow use some magic and get everybody on the same page.
Get angry enough to yell all the answers to everyone.
All right, so we're going to put these up on the website for you guys to choose which one you would like to see play out the most. Also, you can give us your take on Ready Player One and let us know what you thought about the movie if you've seen it. I will say, Matt, I am very interested to see your reaction to it, because one of the nostalgic references that is in the film, I think you're going to appreciate quite a bit. So I can't wait to see your reaction from the movie. But it's definitely a lot of fun and a lot of references. Like Amanda said, definitely one that you're going to have to have a guide to the references that you're going to have to watch like in slow motion in order to catch them all. But so definitely let us know which scenario you like the best, what you thought of the movie, and give us your own feedback. If you liked any of our individual picks, you can tweet directly at us and let us know what you thought of those. Amanda, how do people tweet to you?
At HardCandyMandy, eyes, no eyes.
You could also tweet to the Twitter famous Mr. Matt Fridley. Matt, how do people tweet to you, and what made you Twitter famous?
Oh man, I'm at Fridley Sent, and I made a joke about Seinfeld judging you while you watch anime.
That went crazy. So definitely, if you want to see exactly what we're talking about, go to Matt's Twitter account and find the Seinfeld picture, and you'll see what happened with that one. Dan, how do people tweet to you?
They just yell really loudly, and it usually works. I'm at Movie Revolt.
All right, and I am at Optimus Solo, or you can tweet to all of us in unison at CinemaGeekCast. So that does it for this week. A little fun trip down memory lane, but we'll be back at it next time with some more fun as we try to get closer to the end of the video game spotlight. And we'll also be giving you guys some episodes in our Kevin Smith retrospective as we travel through that journey. So that does it for today's episode. Tune in next week for another chance to listen to The Cinema Geeks.